You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Lynn was 9 years old when she had her encounter with God. Lynn was a student at Oxley College. In fact, she was in, I think, about year three, and her teacher was Mrs. Palmer. In our school, we have the blessing that we can pray with kids and we can encourage kids in their relationship with God. And Mrs. Palmer was one of those teachers that just loved talking to her students about God. And so she taught them how to pray and how to believe that God would answer prayer. And so Lynn started to pray. Lynn and her parents were going on a holiday to Canada. And Mrs. Palmer just happened to be going to San Francisco at the same time. And so Lynn, she loved Mrs. Palmer, and she thought, what an awesome thing if I could meet Mrs. Palmer in America. And so at her bedtime prayer with her parents, she would pray, Dear Lord Jesus, please let me see Mrs. Palmer in America. So the day came, school holidays came, and off they went. This family flew from Melbourne to Los Angeles up to Vancouver or Toronto, I can't remember which. Mrs. Palmer, a day or two later, flew from Melbourne to San Francisco, where the function she was at was there. And the parents were most perturbed. How are we going to explain to our daughter that this prayer that she's been praying is not going to happen? Because they knew that they would never, ever, ever go anywhere near San Francisco. They knew that they were flying from Toronto, Vancouver, wherever, back to LA, back to Melbourne. And that Mrs. Palmer was flying San Francisco, Melbourne. That their paths would never, ever intersect or cross. They worked hard at trying to maybe change this girl's prayer. Maybe help her to understand her disappointment when her encounter with God that she was praying for did not happen. Well, the day came when Lynn and her family were to come back from holidays. And so they went to the airport. And it just so happened that day there was a blizzard. And the plane that they were to fly on was cancelled. After a lot of work that they were put on another plane. A plane going from Vancouver, Toronto, whatever, down to San Francisco. I should have found out, shouldn't I? Wow, a plane going to San Francisco. Well, there's still no way that they'd be able to meet Mrs. Palmer. Anyhow, they got on the plane and got to San Francisco, got off, and they had a long layover before they could get to their connection. And so they went out of the terminal and into just the common area around the airport, and they were just walking around and looking at the shops, and all of a sudden they heard this incredible squeal. There was Mrs. Palmer. Lynn had her prayers answered. Lynn's now in her 30s, and Lynn has just been through a bit of a crisis. In talking to Lynn, that's not her name, by the way, in talking to Lynn, Lynn says that the thing that has caused her to trust God, to stay focused, to believe in God, and to know that He's got everything in control, was that prayer and that encounter with her God. What a great story. Let me tell you another one. I asked Al, my son, if I could share it. We don't often talk about our kids from the platform. Al, I don't know, he would have been about 8 or 9, and he had a wart on his finger. Now, Chris had a wart on her finger. In fact, Chris's wasn't a wart, it was more a finger on her finger. And Chris did not want to have this thing burnt off. It was right around her nail and around the quick, and she didn't want to have it burnt off because that was going to hurt. And so she did all the quacky things. Banana peel. Look, you name it, she did it. I think I even kissed it a couple of times. I'm not sure. Whatever the case is, finally, she went to our doctor and had it burnt off. Well, Al had a wart And he knew what was happening to Mum's wart. His wart was growing as well. And so one night in our prayer time together, I said, "Al, we're going to do something about this wart." And of course, I don't want it burnt off, Dad. And I said, "Well, you've got a choice. It's either God takes it off or the doctor takes it off. Let's give God a chance first." And so Al prayed, not me, Al prayed in childlike faith that God would remove that wart. About 3 days later, out of sight, out of mind, I just happened to think, "Now, I wonder what's happening to that wart." And so I went up to Al and I said, "Al, what's happening with your wart? Do we need to see the doctor?" Now, my memory, and I could be wrong, but my memory is that Al had forgotten about his wart as well. He looked down to where the wart was, and there was no wart. In fact, there was no scar. It was just a perfectly clean finger. That was Al's encounter with God for the first time that I can remember, that he can remember. That faith, that confidence, that assurance of a prayer-answering God has stayed with him for all his life. And I've seen him use that faith often to pray for things and to see answers. Imagine what Chris felt like. Chris, why don't you come and share an encounter for me?
Encounters with God, they're amazing things. I've got a few I could share, but I've just picked out a couple that I want to share this morning. It's probably about 18 years ago now, a long time. I went through a six-month period of being very ill. In fact, three times I nearly died throughout that process. I was in and out of hospital, and it wasn't a very nice time. So a couple of encounters that I'll talk about. One of them was in the middle of this time and one was towards the end of it. I had young children, well, just before teenage years at that stage. And I was, you know, pretty sick and I was missing my kids, going in and out of hospital. And I remember being in hospital after one of the operations, and I was feeling just so down, so sick, and just sick of everything, and thinking, "I just don't know how I can keep going. I'm just sick of it all." Gray and the kids were with me the whole way through it, holding my hand and helping me, and they were with me the whole way through, but I still felt incredibly lonely. And it was something that I'd had to actually go through on my own. Even though they were right next to me, I was on my own. So I felt incredibly lonely, and I was praying and crying out to God and just saying, "I just don't know how I can keep going like this. I've had enough." And I remember I was in a two-bed ward. Girl next to me was asleep. And all of a sudden, when I was really upset and lonely feeling, I opened my eyes, and around my bed was angels. And it was the most incredible thing. They were really tall, with their hands like this, and that was like that word overshadowing. They were overshadowing me, and they were totally circling my bed, and I knew that I wasn't alone. I knew that I had the angels, God's angels. He'd send his angels to give me that comfort around about, and immediately I felt a peace. It was the most amazing thing, and it felt like 20 minutes that they were there, and I could see them there just overshadowing me, and that was just awesome. Then a few more months went on of this sickness and hospital times, and I got home, which was great, and I thought this must be it. Well, the infection that was in my blood flared up again, and I was a very sick girl. Gray called the doctor again. They came and saw me, and he said, "You have to go back to hospital." And I just thought, "I just don't know how I can do this again. I've had enough. I miss my kids. I miss my husband. I just want my life. I just am so tired of this." And Gray and the doctor went out to start to make the arrangements to get me into hospital. And I was actually brokenhearted. My heart just, you know, I just thought, "I just don't want to do this anymore." Sorry, 18 years, but still real. Sorry. And I can remember my heart was really broken. because I just didn't want to leave the kids, didn't want to leave Grey again. And I was lying in bed crying, but not just a crying, it was just a real heart-wrenching, deep heart, broken heart. And I can remember that at that time I was saying, you know, God, just what am I going to do? And I looked into the corner of the room and I actually saw the face of Jesus. Excuse me. The face of Jesus was there and it was so real. I knew it was Jesus. I had no doubt who it was. I can still picture it as clear as that day. I can't probably describe it as clearly as I can see it, but I can still see it as clear as that day. Well, Jesus' face was looking at me, and the amazing thing was that he wasn't there saying, now, pick yourself up, you know, get on with it and just be strong. His face actually totally mirrored my heart. It was a mirror image of my heart, his face. He had tears streaming down his face, and I immediately knew that he knew exactly how I felt. I wasn't alone. He was there with me every step of the way, and he understood. And as I said, he had tears down his face and he said, just a little while longer. And it was that incredible encounter that I knew I wasn't alone, I wasn't going through it. God knows everything that we do and everything we're going through, everything we actually feel. And so that was an amazing encounter, and it wasn't much longer and I was on the road to health again.
There's another one when Chris was in hospital. It just came to me as she was speaking. We were sitting in waiting for an operation and we were in a ward that had a window overlooking East Melbourne. And we'd had the Jerusalem Passion here. And there was a song in the Jerusalem Passion, Where Are the Eagles? A beautiful song. And we had that playing in the background. And as we looked out the window, two eagles were soaring. God is an awesome God. Why am I talking about encounters with God? Because I am just so disturbed about how many people are denying or walking away from their faith. Not hanging in the tough times. Are doubting who they are in God. Are doubting the experiences or the lack of that they've had. I know that I know that I know that if we have an encounter with God, an experience with God, we will be changed forever. And one of the things that I don't think we talk enough about, do enough about, is giving opportunity to have encounters with God. You see, we don't know or see how in a negative time like Chrissy had, that you can have an encounter with God that can stand with you forever. Yet that was real, that was rich. And I know that Chris obviously had to go through that for a purpose, that God could use her in the future, whatever that might be. So it's imperative that we have encounters with God. It's imperative that we pray for our kids to have encounters with God. One of the things that Chris and I did from the time that our kids were born was the knowledge that being pastors' kids, being second generation, third generation Christian kids, that if we were going to see them walk on with God like we were hoping, that they would have to have their own encounter with God. Both Pete and Rel had their encounter with God in school here. Our chapel times at this school are incredible. Our chapel times are just such an awesome thing. Eight students this week gave their heart to the Lord. And when I say that, they're not students who wouldn't know what they're doing and were being driven along by emotion. These are students in the upper end of our school who would know what it is to count a cost, to stand up and to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. We need to pray that our kids would encounter God for themselves. We need to make certain we place them in opportunities, youth, etc., etc. It's very good and very easy to place them into worldly activities. That's great. I'm not having any problem with that. But they need to be in a place where they're going to meet God face to face. You know, it's not hard to walk through the Bible in your mind and to see story after story of encounters with God. Excuse me. I'm good on the podcast, won't it? Over and over we read personal encounters with God, encounters that changed lives forever. And I just sat as I was writing this, and without any trouble, Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, Rahab, how many of the prophets and the kings, the shepherds, the wise men, the woman at the well, the call of the disciples, the healed lepers, all the others that were touched by God, the thousands that were fed when Jesus broke the loaf, Lazarus coming out of the tomb, Paul on the Damascus Road, right down to Jesus' resurrection and the two disciples walking along that road. And we could go on and we could go on and we could go on as we walk our way through the Bible. The details of the stories might differ. They might be different people. They might be different circumstances. It might be at different ages or times or places. But they all have one common element, and that is that they had an encounter with the living God. In fact, as I started to think about it and look about it, look through it, you know, there's some common themes in encounters with God. There's an awful lot of encounters with God in the Bible that happen around food and hospitality, which means that it's just a gentle situation or circumstance. There's an awful lot of them that happen around major crises or events or circumstances. And there's quite a number that happen before or after a mighty miracle. All encounters with God. We can't box an encounter with God and say this is when it's going to happen. We can't write our own script because God has already written that. And God knows what our encounter with God is about and what it's for and how He's going to use it. Have you had an encounter with God lately? God, I know, wants an encounter with us. Probably as much, if not more, than we want it with Him. So what would it look like? What would your encounter look like? How would you really know if it's God? What would you do if all of a sudden your donkey started to talk to you? You know, Moses, he had an encounter with God at the burning bush. And that encounter is so well written in the sense of detail that it gives us some really practical answers. I'm going to read Moses 3, 1 to 10. If you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to read along with me. I say if you've got your Bibles because, unfortunately, Exodus 3, 1 to 10. Did I say Moses? Well, everyone knows that that's Exodus, doesn't it? Dorothy, if I said Moses, that'd be Exodus, wouldn't it? That's right. You see, Dorothy knew. Moses 3, 1 to 10. Just because you want to be pedantic. Please bring your Bibles to church. It's great to read wrong. It's great to highlight them. By the way, you should be in Leviticus at the moment in cover to cover. Isn't that a hard slog? Keep going, it gets better. Don't give up. And if you have got behind because it's been a hard slog, then skip it and catch up. Okay? Don't stop reading your cover to cover. It's an amazing thing, getting the Word of God into our hearts. So here we go. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. As he led the flock to the back of the desert, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and saw the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up to that land, to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. There's so much about Moses we can talk about, and today we're not going to do that because I need to stay focused on his encounter. But Moses, he had a close encounter with God. Close encounter that not only changed him, but it did change history. You see, Moses was doing the same thing that he'd done for close on 40 years. He was looking after his sheep. And this was a day like no other day or like every other day. It was business as usual. That is, until the presence of God showed up. Or until God made his presence known, because God is everywhere, isn't he? It's important to notice how God chose to reveal himself. The Bible says that Moses noticed a bush that was burning but wasn't consumed. And as I read that and as I soaked myself in this passage and just allowed my mind to muse along, I thought he must have had often times where there was burning bushes, where there were scrub fires. Because it doesn't say that he was concerned about the burning bush. It shows us and says that he was more concerned that the bush was not being consumed. A supernatural happening was taking place. There was a scrub fire, and the scrub was not being burnt. That stopped Moses. That caught his attention. That made him realize that today is a different day to what I've been doing for the last 40 years. For God to get Moses' attention, he took an ordinary thing. He then added his presence to it. When I encounter or when I consider the encounters of God that I've had, nearly all of them have been in common day experiences, with one exception. The presence of God shows up, the intention grabber. Hey, Graham, I want to talk to you. You know, I can guarantee you that Lynn, seeing Mrs. Palmer, knew that she'd had an encounter because her prayers had been answered. It was a miracle. The presence of God had showed up. Al and his wife, Chris, and her encounters with God and yours. The presence of God is an important thing. You know, a close encounter with God may come through the loss of a job, an illness, a miracle, or just an everyday occurrence. God may speak to you through a new friendship. Maybe something that you would just consider to be a coincidence. Well, it's just a coincidence. You know, anybody could have orchestrated that. Possibly. But then again, God used it. We need to remember God wants us to be attentive to the burning bushes. I once spoke on having divine appointments. If you're going to have divine appointments, then you've got to be ready for God to tell you what to do. You've got to be tuned in. No static. And I think this is the same in this situation. We have to be seeking God's face. We have to believe in God. Looking to God. Allowing God to minister his life. So often we get caught up in business as usual. So often we get caught up in our normal day-to-day lifestyle, humdrum. Get up, take our kids to school, drive home, do the washing, do the ironing, whatever the case may be. Come back, pick up the kids, and that's only the morning. Go to work, hop on the train, open the book, open the paper, get off at the same train, walk along the same path, go up the same set of steps into the elevator, push the same button, go to your same workstation, sit down, turn on the computer the same way that you always do. Lunchtime, go and have lunch, same sandwich. And I know because Alan spoke about that last week, it's the one that you made. Life can be pretty routine. We need to allow God to get our attention so that we can have an encounter with him. In verse 4 of this passage, we see the personal nature of Moses' encounter. God knew Moses' name. God didn't say, hey, you, the guy over there with the sheep, I want to talk to you. He said, Moses, Moses. And that was a voice coming out of a bush that wasn't burning. He knew who he was. He knew what he did for a living. He knew what he had done in the past. And more importantly, God knew what Moses was going to do in the future. Think about it. If God knew about Moses' past, then he was fully aware that Moses was a murderer. That Moses had done a runner. Now we know the story of Moses. Moses' days were orchestrated right from the beginning, right from the time that he was placed in that basket, right from the way that God orchestrated that his mother, his natural mother, would become the nurse. God gave Moses the best, the most incredible education that the world could pay for at that time. And at 40 years old, he blew it. He went and murdered somebody. And then for 40 years, God humbled this man. See, at one point, Moses was up there, Pharaoh's son, king, bigwig in Egypt. God had to humble him and bring him down to zilch. 40 years of just looking after some sheep. Getting to the point of being humbled, a point of, as we will know later on, I don't know what to say. Send somebody else. What? Someone to speak for me. That doesn't sound like a guy that's had the most incredible education. That sounds like a broken, insecure person. And then for the next 40 years, God used him to lead the children of Israel. God knew all about Moses. He knew about his past. He knew about his present circumstance, and he knew about his future. No matter what we've done, God wants not only to have a relationship with us, he wants to use us. To use us, sometimes he needs to have an encounter with us to let us know that he's in charge. God is in the business of restructuring, reconditioning, and restoring broken lives. And there's some here today, I know, that you feel that your past alienates you, separates you, stops you from being able to do what God wants you to do. Someone help me with a word. Disqualifies. Thank you. Disqualifies you from doing what God wants you to do. That's not true. God knows all about you. Imagine how boring the Bible would be if God only worked through successful, godly people. Again, walking through the Bible, you wouldn't have Abraham because he was a pagan and a pretty good liar. You'd have to tear out the stories about Samson and David and Solomon and Rahab. because all of those had moral failure. And the list goes on and on and on. This encounter with Moses teaches us an important lesson. We serve a God who forgives and a God who forgets our past. In fact, he says it's gone from the east to the west in his sight. He remembers them no more. He does that in order to be able to use us to do extraordinary things for him in the future. Now, there's one thing about this encounter. Go right down to verse 10. It says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, for you will lead my people out of Egypt. When God breaks into our lives, he does so for a very specific reason. Not only does he want a relationship with us, he wants a relationship with us so that we can fulfill a specific purpose in eternity. God's purpose for Moses, the reason for his encounter with him at that bush, was that Moses was to deliver the Jews out of bondage. Now, we might not have such a grandeur purpose, but then Jesus died for all mankind. And the one person next door that you might talk to every day might be your purpose. And one person brought in to the kingdom of God, one person becoming a follower of God, the Bible says, the angels rejoice. Whatever it is that God has for us, it will have eternal significance, I'm sure. So the question has to be, if Moses can be intersected by God and have an incredible encounter, why can't we? Why don't we? Or do we and we don't know? And then, if we do, what are we doing with them? What are we going to do with them? How are we going to use them to impact people for God? Moses, he's standing in the middle of the desert looking at a burning bush that wasn't burning. He's just heard the voice of God come out of a bush that knew him by name. He's told to take his sandals off because it's holy ground. What would you be feeling right now? I'd be certainly looking around for candid camera. I'd be looking around to see if this is going to go on YouTube or Facebook or something. Look what he did. But what would you do? What would Moses think? I think I would need some reassurance. God, if that's really you, could you sign your name on this bit of paper, please? I'll give you the pen. Well, God, if that's really you, could you make this blanket wet when I wake up in the morning? Oh, that was a good trick, God. Well, tomorrow, make it dry and make it wet all the way around. Gideon did that. You know, fleeces aren't bad. Moses, he wanted some reassurance. In fact, God gave him reassurance by telling him three things. He says, first, I'm the God of your ancestors. That means I'm the God of your past. I know who you are. God wanted Moses, he wants us to know that there's nothing we've done, left undone, or even thought about doing that's going to surprise him or make him love us any less. The other thing that I think God wants us to know about the past is that he will use the past events to prepare us and get us ready for future assignments. So as I said a minute ago, if you've got a past, look past your past. Don't look at it as a total failure. Look at it as a stepping stone, a training ground, a preparation place that God is going to use for your future. Second thing that God tells Moses is that I've seen the misery of my people. I've heard their cries. I'm aware of their sufferings. In other words, I'm not only a God of the past, I'm a God of the present. I know what's happening right now to the people that you've run away from, to the people that you know were in bondage, that you know were being unfairly treated. So God is a God who knows exactly what's happening of your life right now. He knows your victories, he knows your defeats, he knows your joys, he knows your sorrows. In fact, he even knows when you're awake and when you're asleep, and he knows what you're dreaming about. God is a God of now, a God of the present. And the final thing that God uses to encourage Moses was the fact that he was a God of the future. You will lead my people out of Egypt. Not, would you like to? Or, I would like you to. Or, I know you can. There was nothing like that. In God's eyes, it was a done deal. We've had this encounter, and this is what is going to happen. You will lead my people out of Egypt. I'm a God of your past. I'm a God of your present. And I'm a God of your future destiny. And this encounter that you've had with me right now is to show you that you can do what I want you to do. Instead of rolling up his sleeves and confronting Pharaoh, Moses did exactly what most of us would do. He offered up a whole lot of excuses. And because of time, the next time I speak, we'll do the five excuses that Moses had. How they reflect us. How God answered those excuses. And how God used Moses to achieve what he needed to achieve. This morning, the challenge is the encounter with God. An encounter with God in your everyday circumstances, in your everyday situation. Believing for, praying for, expecting, being aware of. And parents, can I encourage you to pray for your kids to have an encounter with God? Doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are, it's not too late. One of my prayers comes out of Lot, and it just arrest his progress. Don't let them look backwards. Second thing that I'd like us to have as a challenge today is that your past, your present circumstances are part of the makeup of what God will use for your future. And you might look at your past. You might say, hey, God, why did I sit in a hospital room? Why was it that I was going to die? How come it took half a year for me to get well? When God, I'm a good person. You know, people told Chris that she didn't have faith. Some nice person told her she must have done something wrong. She's perfect. I know she doesn't do anything wrong. She couldn't even lie straight in bed. So, you know, that's not on. So God, what is it that you're using in this situation and circumstance, and why are you using it? What's it for? God has a plan for each of us. And I have no doubt that our encounters and experiences with God are a major part of helping us along the road. And I have no doubt that we see people walking away from the things that they know or should know because they haven't really experienced God the way I'm talking about. Then the last challenge is that if you have had an encounter with God, and I think, believe it or not, that most of us should have had an encounter with God, that the personal encounters with God that we've had have the potential not only to change us, but to be used by God to change the eternal destinies of others. Now, I could probably open up the mic right now and say, hey guys, anyone that wants to come and share a personal encounter, I'd like you to do that right now. And I think we would have no trouble spending the rest of the day listening to stories. Ken and Dorothy could tell us stories forever. I know. Pastor Hal, Jill could tell us stories forever. I know. Because I know lots of their stories. And I'm sure that you're no different. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a life group leader. You don't have to be anything special. God is interested in you. And I'd like you to actually think about your encounters. And maybe if you feel like it and you'd like to share one. Before I start the next message on those five excuses, maybe we'll listen to someone's encounters with God. But let's expect an encounter with God. This morning we're going to have an encounter with God around the communion table. A place where every time we have communion, I encounter God. Because the Bible says to remember him. Matt, could we have the worship team, please? Those that are serving communion, if you would distribute the cup and the bread, that would be great. This morning, I just want you to stop and reflect. I don't want to talk anymore. I want you to stop and reflect, and I want you to think about that song. I want Matt and the worship team to sing it for us. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all the things that you've done. Think about what God has done in your life. Think about the encounters you've had. Maybe you are sitting here and you've allowed your past to, in your mind, disqualify you. Well, today, this communion time is a good place to see it gone forever. Maybe you're worried and you can't see how God can use your life for the future. Just start praising him for the stepping stones. Start praising him that your past is a part of your process items for the future. And that God knows exactly what you're thinking, feeling right now. And he's here to minister into your life. When I was praying about this message and praying about this morning, when I walked this morning, I said, God, the icing on the cake for me would be to know that people experience God in church today. That they had an encounter with him.